Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Great to be back in the jungle. JT the Brick on a great day in Southern California. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thrilled to be here the day of the MLB trade deadline, where hopefully there'll be some breaking news trades coming up here over the next couple of hours. Keep it here to CBS Sports Radio. We will have you covered first on maybe a blockbuster deal or two, or maybe a couple of deals that'll pop up here over the next couple of hours that'll take certain teams to the next level. We'll get into that. Great guest list today. Rob Dibble will join us as we go over the base brawl that happened last night in Cincinnati. Rob Dibble has seen a brawl or two. He's thrown a baseball out of a stadium in the past. I've worked with him. It'll be a lot of fun to talk to him. Also, Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox and MLB Whip Around. He's all over the baseball trade deadline. He will join us a little bit later on. Cowboys insider Clarence Hill, live from Oxnard, on everything that's happening surrounding America's team. And the GM of the Silver and Black of the Raiders, Mike Mayock, will join us today on the Jim Rome Show. Numbers 800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at JT the Brick and Facebook at JT the Brick. So last night I'm here in Southern California watching scores, watching games, and we finally get a real base brawl between the Reds and the Pirates. It was real. There were punches being thrown. There was trash talking, pitches around the head, pitches being thrown behind guys. It had everything that you could dream of in a base brawl, plus so much more. Let's go back to last night on how it looked and how it sounded.
And here comes Amir Garrett. He's leaving the mound. He wants a piece of somebody. Amir Garrett takes a swing and gets a punch. The Pirates' bench is emptied.
Punches
Amir Garrett went flying, and they are hitting each other
punches
all over the place.
This is not
usually. This is a real fight.
Hey, look, right here. Look. Here.
Oh, now we got Puig taking. Puig wants Crick, but Crick wants nothing to do with him. Kyle Crick wants nothing to do with Puig, and who can blame him? And now the scrum continues in front of the Pirate dugout. This is a real Donnybrook.
Awesome. Pirates Radio, they nailed it beautifully. Both of those teams hate each other. There is no debate that the Pirates throw at everybody. Cincinnati was sick and tired of it, but the big hook to the story, the biggest takeaway by far, was Yasiel Puig. At the time of the brawl, he was already traded. Officially, it was announced that he was gone on his way to Cleveland. And what does he do? He fights for his former teammates while he's still in uniform. You will never see that again in your life. And it adds to the legacy of Puig, who's loved in Los Angeles, where I am today. And now he should go out. I'm not saying give him a statue, but have a bobblehead brawl night for Puig when he comes back next time to Cincinnati. To go out fighting for your brothers, fighting for the guys that you are leaving behind in a trade, was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Yasiel Puig, phenomenal. Phenomenal night and everything that happened there yesterday. Now, the trades that went down, Trevor Bauer goes to the Reds, and Noah Syndergaard today, it looks like he's not moving. But I think the baseball trade deadline so far in the hype has been pretty lame. It's been pretty boring for the last couple of days. We're all waiting on Madison Bumgarner. Will the Giants let him go? Will the Astros and the Yankees go after him? And how about my Yankees? That's right, my Yankees, who can't get out of the way of their starting rotation. They lose to the Diamondbacks again after almost getting massacred out in Boston. What is Brian Cashman waiting for? Brian Cashman has an unlimited checkbook with as many prospects as you can move right now. Will the Yankees make a move throughout the course of this show? I'll tell you this as a Yankee fan. If the Yankees don't make a move, I don't think there's a Yankees fan out there from the Bronx all the way to California who thinks the Yankees can win. Especially if the Astros jump in and get Bumgarner to go along with that starting rotation. Will the Yankees blink in the next 4 hours? We're talking about it, 800-636-8686. All right, so overnight, the news started to break. As I woke up this morning, we all saw the deal. Michael Thomas, $100 million. He'll be the highest paid non-quarterback offensive player in NFL history. Couple of things. Whenever a deal goes down for a new player, it could be Trent Brown on the offensive line for the Raiders. It could be a quarterback, now a wide receiver. They all reset the bar to a point where now the money is completely outlandish. The biggest takeaway on this story is now the wide receivers are getting fed more than the running backs. If you look at the great Jim Brown, who's a friend of mine, the late, great Walter Payton, you know, Earl Campbell, one of the toughest football players to ever live, Emmitt Smith, who held out, three rushing titles on the way to those three Super Bowls. All of those guys got paid in the past. They all knew that they were the most important players on the team. They were the guys who set the tone on the ground for all of those great teams and some of those great quarterbacks, and now running backs can't get paid. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I believe now if you look at the numbers around running backs, everybody's now discounting running backs. If you go back to the Super Bowl era, go back 50-plus years, all of these great running backs who are in the Hall of Fame have had great moments. But recently, we've had a Patriots dynasty over 19 years where you can't name all the Patriot running backs. So everybody's getting tricked into thinking, well, if the Patriots can win six Super Bowls without a running back or a star running back, we can do it. You can't do it because you can't, A, beat the Patriots without a great running back. Look at Seattle and the two Super Bowls, winning one and losing one with Marshawn Lynch. Think of the running backs of your lifetime. And now we're sitting here at the end of July in 2019 and running backs can't get paid. That leads me now to what Zeke Elliott does after this contract is signed with Michael Thomas and what he's getting in New Orleans and also right here in Southern California as we take a look at the holdout of Melvin Gordon and what he's supposed to get paid. These guys deserve to get paid, but they're both under contract. For Melvin Gordon, I think his look is interesting. His body is getting beat up at a pace where he knows he's not going to be playing this game when he's 30-31. So I have a lot of respect for a guy who wants to get paid, but he's playing for arguably the top three cheapest organizations in all of sports. The Chargers have a bigger problem on their hands, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to have about 30,000 empty seats at the new Rams Stadium. 30,000, not 13,000. They're going to be giving away those tickets outside Inglewood for just bodies and zombies to walk in to a Charger game in a little over a year from now. So for Gordon, if you want to save the money and you think you got something better, go ahead and do it. But that's going to take a lot of guts, in my opinion, because the Chargers right now, including last year, had a window to win the Super Bowl. And Phillip Rivers is 0-8 lifetime against Tom Brady. Do you think Phillip Rivers, if he's playing Tom Brady again in the AFC playoffs, wants Melvin Gordon? Or if he wants to do it on his own with his wide receivers? The Chargers now need to blink. And the Chargers need to get him in and just pay him because they're moving into a new building. That isn't their building. They're also going after a Super Bowl at the very, very back end of Phillip Rivers' career. And Zeke Elliott, this might be the most immature and pathetic look in NFL history for a holdout going to Cabo. Cabo, Mexico, home of the mango deck and the wet t-shirt contest. Home of the famous office bar, where everybody walks in on 2 feet and crawls out on all fours. I've been to Cabo 3 times in my life. I can only remember one of the trips. You think Zeke might stick out in Cabo? It's a tiny tourist resort with a bunch of honeymooning Americans and drunk frat boys. He's a target for anyone with a cell phone who's been liquored up and looking to go all TMZ with it. I won't even get to their murder rates and how dangerous it is. But maybe it's just me, but if I got detained at the Electric Daisy Carnival earlier this year, I'm not going to Cabo during a holdout. Thousands of high schools and college campuses would love to host Zeke, and they have the facilities for it. But he chose Cabo? Does Cabo even have a football field? Maybe it's hosting a wet t-shirt contest. And if you think this guy couldn't go to UCLA, 45 minutes south of Oxnard, where Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. have been working out. Of course he could have. He could have gone anywhere, but he went to Cabo instead. Horrible optics. When Rocky was training for Drago, did he go to South Beach? No, he went to the middle of nowhere in the Soviet Union with 9 feet of snow with his drunk brother-in-law. You look at all these deals, it's just an ugly look overall. So I want you to hear from Jerry Jones, who's not only the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he's also the GM of the team. Jerry had to finally pay Emmitt Smith when Emmitt Smith was holding out. Here's what Jerry thinks of this.
Emmitt had participated in a Super Bowl, being the first rushing champ. Now, this is very important. First time ever a rushing champion was on a Super Bowl winning team. The point there is, you don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. But Emmitt was the first one to do it. And that's one of the dilemmas at running back, is that the league knows that you can win Super Bowls and not have the Emmitt Smith back there or not have Zeke back there. Consequently, when we are looking and putting Zeke's contract in place, we've got to realize that the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. And so you've got to do all of the things along with having Zeke that allow you to have other players so that you can win the Super Bowl.
That might be one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard from the guy who won all three of his Super Bowls, the owner, with Emmitt Smith. If there was ever a guy who should never say that comment, it's Jerry Jones, because he did it with Emmitt Smith, and he has a guy on pace to break Emmitt Smith's records if he stayed with the Cowboys for the length of his contract. If any other owner said that, I would get it. But for Jerry Jones, who's been chasing the Super Bowl as badly as the Dodgers have been chasing the World Series since 88, how does that come out of Jerry's mouth? He's got the next Emmitt Smith. Fact, not fiction. He's got him. Now, he's a little bit out of control, and he's been in trouble a bunch. But maybe you can rein him back in. Jerry was able to do that with the great Michael Irvin. But I think what this comes down to, everybody, is this list that I have that we put together before the show. I think that NBA players are so in the head of NFL players now that NFL players are saying, I need me some of that NBA money. Take a look. Zeke is sitting here holding out. He's making $3.8 million. $3.8 million. Melvin Gordon's making $5.6 million. But we'll stay with Zeke, who's under $4 million. Andrew Wiggins is making $27.5 million. Zero All-Star games in 5 years. You ever hear of Otto Porter Jr.? Guess how much he's making? $27.2 million. Nick Batum, $25.5 million. How about this guy? The great Chandler Parsons. Zero All-Star games in 8 years. Parsons is making $25.1 million. Evan Turner, $18.6 million. Alan Crabb, who? $18.5 million a year. Gorgie Dang, $16.2 million. This is insanity. You wonder why NFL running backs are going to Cabo, holding out, making less than $4 million, and guys who are sitting out regular season NBA games, who you never heard of, are making $18 to $20 million and sitting out because of load management. Zeke gets into a car accident every time he runs the ball, and now we have an alleged car accident. It was a car accident that happened before the playoff game against the Packers, and maybe there's a cover-up, according to TMZ. So I got a lot to say on contracts. Hey, everybody, when are we going to stop with these contracts? Are we really going to pay quarterbacks $40 million a year 5 years from now to play 16 games and maybe 30 minutes a game? And that doesn't include times in the huddle, times they're handing off, incomplete passes. When is enough enough? I'm happy that Michael Thomas got that money, and I think he deserves it. He did it because he had the leverage, because Drew Brees is running out of time to win another Super Bowl, and the Benson family said, get Drew whatever he wants. If they're doing that in New Orleans, why aren't they doing that in Los Angeles for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers when it comes to Gordon, or for Dak Prescott, what it means for him to have Zeke Elliott?
Prepare for summer road trips before you head out. Be sure to prepare for summer road trips before you head out. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you hit the road will ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
JT the Brick back in for Jim Rome. Clarence Hill will join us from Oxnard to talk about the Cowboys and what to do with Zeke Elliott. As we come back, 800-636-8686 on Twitter at JT the Brick. And that's what we're trying to figure out today. After the Michael Thomas deal for a wide receiver, and as we're talking $20 million a year and the length of these contracts, now does it help the running back, or does the massive contract for the wide receiver continue to haunt the running back out there? You got two great ones, but Zeke Elliott has the ability, if he stays out of trouble, I believe, to be a Hall of Famer, to be one of the all-time greats because of that offensive line, the brand, the fact that he plays for Jerry Jones. He could be locked up for years to come, and I don't think he's going to be a guy that gets banged up and you throw him away in 3 to 4 years. Everybody's still freaking out because of Todd Gurley and what's happened to his knee, because it looked like Gurley was going to dominate this league forever. I mean, Gurley, if he doesn't get hurt in the backfield for the Rams, who just went to the Super Bowl, you're probably talking about Gurley being one of those great running backs for another 6, 7, 8 years. We've seen it with Adrian Peterson. We saw it with Eric Dickerson. There's a lot of running backs who played well past 9, 10, 11 years, and now they're supposed to be in better shape, better diets, better conditioning. But the fear that the league has to throw these running backs away because it's such a pass-happy league. And speaking of pass-happy league, I want to give you my quarterback list. We were working on this. This time of year, as we're in the dead zone and we're coming out of it, I love this time of year. You grind it out, you find more to talk about before football season gets here, and we just came off the greatest NBA offseason of our lifetime. So if you're watching a lot of shows, people are debating the quarterback position. I don't like to debate the quarterback position year by year, because quarterbacks are going to have up and down years and quarterbacks are going to get hurt. But I am here to tell you that this is the greatest season in the history of the NFL, and it happens to be the 100 year anniversary on paper for quarterbacks. Never in recorded NFL history did we have this many current Hall of Famers who are going to go to the Hall of Fame, this many young guns and players who are on the fringe of being great. And the reason why this group is so important is you have something that you might not ever see again. You have Tom Brady at over 70,000 yards and Drew Brees at over 74,000 yards together. There won't be probably a time again in our lifetime where we'll have two quarterbacks with Super Bowls at the top of the list playing into their 40s. Because there's too much money now. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to be playing until he's 40, 41. He shouldn't have to with the money. So here's my list of the current players in the NFL at the quarterback position who I believe are locks to go to the Hall of Fame. That would be Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger with over 56,000 yards and 2 Super Bowls. Philip Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he can't beat Tom Brady. He's got 54,000 yards and 374 touchdowns. And he's going to probably play another 2 seasons, so he'll go well over 60,000 yards. Aaron Rodgers is a lock with his MVPs and a Super Bowl. Eli Manning, I talked about it on Monday. You cannot keep Eli out of the Hall of Fame. 55,981 yards and 360 touchdowns and 2 Super Bowls. Eli is going to walk into Canton, Ohio, right in there to see his brother's bust, and he's going to go right behind it. Then it gets interesting. I think Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer. Right now, if he never plays again, 46,720 yards. He's played in a Super Bowl, and he's got 295 touchdowns. I'm also putting Russell Wilson in the Hall of Fame today. 2 Super Bowls, he's won one. He's got over 25,000 yards and almost 200 touchdowns. How do you keep Russell Wilson out of the Hall of Fame? He's blowing away the Hall of Fame stats, and he's a winner. And then finally, one that you might think is a reach, but I'm not afraid to compare eras and predict the future. Patrick Mahomes is a Hall of Famer. Mahomes threw for over 5,000 yards his first year and 50 touchdowns. He is an absolute lock for the Hall unless he gets injured. and I don't predict injuries on the Jim Rome Show. I'm assuming he's going to be healthy. Remember, I call it the Mahomes effect. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes on your team, he is going to kick your ass for the next 10 years and take names. So those are my Hall of Famers, and it's a pretty big list. They're all going in. Here are the players in the discussion. They're in the next category, and I'd like to hear from you, which of these guys do you believe have a shot to be a Hall of Famer? Cam Newton. Cam Newton's got an MVP, and he's been to a Super Bowl. 28,469 yards and 182 touchdowns, and the best running quarterback since Mike Vick. So I didn't even give you his rushing stats. They're enormous when it comes to rushing yards and touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, where do you put him? 38,526 yards and 237 touchdowns. Do you think that Stafford is on pace playing in Detroit statistically to make it to the Hall of Fame? This one's going to get the jungle going. Joe Flacco. What do you think of Joe Flacco? Let me tell you about his numbers. You don't know his numbers. 38,245 yards, 212 touchdowns, and he's won a Super Bowl and has had the greatest postseason in the history of the NFL behind Joe Montana. If Flacco wins another Super Bowl in Denver and he gets to two, would he be a lock for the Hall of Fame? And then finally, a guy that I left out in the discussion, and I wanted to put him in currently into the Hall of Fame, but I can't do it, is Andrew Luck. When Andrew Luck was drafted, I believed he was the best quarterback to come out in the draft since John Elway. I think just the total package. Smarts, arm, athletic, everything he can do, but he's got to stay healthy. He's even shutting it down now at this training camp because of the calf, and everybody's starting to worry about it. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. So in the discussion for the Hall of Fame, I have Stafford, Newton, Flacco, and Luck. Pick one that you think goes to the Hall of Fame. But my favorite group is the work in progress. And this is why I want to frame this as the greatest quarterback year of our lifetime, 2019. These are guys who are not Hall of Famers, but are really good and playing in this league. Andy Dalton, 28,000 yards, 188 touchdowns. What do you do with him? If he had the balls to leave Cincinnati and go to another team, he probably plays in the playoffs more than once. But it's been a death sentence playing in Cincinnati. Kirk Cousins, the first ever man to make $84 million guaranteed. He's got 20,000 yards and 129 TDs. Did we forget about Alex Smith? Alex Smith, over 34,000 yards, almost 200 touchdowns. Where do you slot him? If he comes back healthy, which he says he's going to for Washington, he can play. He's a hell of a quarterback who's had a couple of big injuries as of late. Derek Carr, who I talked to, I saw this past weekend. Derek Carr, he's got almost 19,000 yards already and 122 touchdowns. Carr is on pace to shatter every Raiders record of all time. Passing yards, touchdowns, everything that you could have in the silver and black. Jameis Winston, over 14,000 yards and 88 touchdowns. He now plays with a new offensive mind. And Bruce Arians, he has a chance to resurrect his career, and he's very young. And I'm talking about Heisman Trophy winners, everybody. Marcus Mariota. Then you have Nick Foles with the Super Bowl. Dak Prescott with over 10,800 yards, 67 touchdowns. And finally, Jared Goff, who I put on that list of work in progress. So I'm giving you a lot here, but I'm talking about how to frame this as the greatest year ever. And then we get to the young guns. Baker Mayfield, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold. Those are the guys on the bottom of my list with the most upside. They haven't even proved themselves yet, showcasing the fact that the quarterback position has never been stronger. And I didn't even mention Kyle Murray of Arizona. And the final hook to my list here is who I believe is the biggest fraud out there. Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown for 3,000 combined yards in his entire career. I looked at the numbers last night, almost fell off my chair. 2,968 yards and only 17 touchdowns in his entire career. And he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks of all time. The 49ers have put all of their chips into two things that are very risky. One, Santa Clara, as they moved away from Candlestick. And now Jimmy Garoppolo, who doesn't even have competitive backup quarterback stats. I gave you Nick Foles' stats as a backup, 11,000 yards in a Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo is on that list. 800-636-8686 is the number. So I gave you my opinion of all the Hall of Famers who are currently playing and the guys who have a chance to get there. We'll get more into this. We'll take your calls, and you can hit me up via Twitter at JT the Brick. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox will join us, and the general manager of the Oakland Raiders, Mike Mayock. Sup Dave in L.A. says, come on, JT, Pat Mahomes in the Hall of Fame? Way too early. Patrick Mahomes is going to be one of the great Hall of Famers of all time. We'll pick that up next as we continue on the Jim Rome Show. Now it's time for an update. Here's Andrew Bogish. Good to have you back, JT. And for Jim Rome, it's time to ask the pros. Well, you, the clones, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So if you're listening to me for the first time or 23 years, however long it's been, I'm not a poll question guy. I'm not big on lists. But I was looking at all these quarterback lists here over the last couple of weeks from The Athletic, other rankings that I've seen, and I think a lot of them are just completely off base because they just look off of last year's numbers, which is something to look at. I mean, any list that has Baker Mayfield in his rookie year over Derek Carr on a list of top players is ridiculous. Carr's already been close to an MVP. He was a third runner-up for an MVP in 2016, and last year he threw for 4,000 yards, more than Baker Mayfield. So I know people think, and we could look ahead at what Baker Mayfield's about to be, but we got to slow down. I don't know what Kyler Murray's going to do this year, but I know he's going to have bigger numbers in his first year than Jimmy Garoppolo had by the age of 27. By the first 10 games of this year, 10 games, Kyler Murray will have thrown for more yards than Jimmy Garoppolo did his entire life in the NFL. Fact, not fiction. So you look at all these lists and people are trying to figure out who's going to win. Now, to be on a Hall of Fame list, do you have to win? Well, it helps. I mean, I'm a guy who thinks Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall of Fame with two Super Bowl rings and being the first ever Latino quarterback to do it and everything he's done. But if you look at his yards and what he's accomplished throughout the course of his career, the yards don't stack up. And some of the numbers are amazing. Vinny bleeping Testaverde, 46,233 yards and 275 touchdowns. That's almost identical to Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan's probably got 4 or 5 years left in the league. Carson Palmer almost threw for 50,000 yards, 294 touchdowns. He's not a Hall of Famer. And who can forget the great Kerry Collins? 40,922 yards, 208 touchdowns, but he's not a Hall of Famer. But when I talk about Mahomes and I talk about Russell Wilson and I get into these guys who are winners, and they're in a position where they're going to win for a decade, to me, it looks like a lock. The sad thing now is for the old-time quarterbacks from back in the day and the numbers that they were able to put up in the prime of their career. Ken Stabler, Terry Bradshaw, and Joe Namath didn't throw for 30,000 yards. But why are they in the Hall of Fame? They're in the Hall of Fame for iconic moments. And I think that that list that I gave you, Philip Rivers, is really the one that jumps out at you, right? He's the quarterback that has all of the yards, all of the touchdowns, the Iron Man, all the games played, but he doesn't have one iconic moment. Well, too bad. Harold Baines didn't have a lot of iconic moments. He just went into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Longevity is a big part of the Hall of Fame. And because this game is so violent and quarterbacks are snapping legs and getting blown up, not running out of bounds, I don't think you're going to see guys have careers as long as Drew Brees and Tom Brady. The Real Matthew Jones tweets in, JT, the Hall of Fame should be for guys that transcend the game. It's not a place for great players. It's a place for the best. How can you justify Russell Wilson, Eli, and Ryan? They're great, sure, but not transcendent. Take away yards after catch, and that means nothing. Well, it does mean something because Hall of Fames are about stats. That's it. I mean, you can't blame athletes in all different sports because their owners suck and they have bad GMs and bad coaches. If you stay in the league for a long, long time and put up Hall of Fame numbers, you go in. You don't go into the Hall of Fame because of the amount of rings you have. You go into the Hall of Fame for home runs and RBIs in baseball, touchdown catches and throws in the NFL, goals in hockey. It's all about stats. And I'm telling you, this year, I don't know how anybody could be down on the NFL. I was talking to Garrett, one of the producers here. There's one team in the entire league that has a question mark at quarterback. One, the Dolphins with Fitzpatrick, or what they're going to do with Josh Rosen. The rest of the teams, even if you're not an Andy Dalton fan, even if you're not a huge fan of Mariota, who won a Heisman, they are set at the quarterback position, and they all have tremendous upside. Let's get out to the phones and kick it off. Joe in Carson City, you're in the jungle. What's happening, Joe?
Hey there, JT. I've listened to you about the Raiders all the time, and I think we have a good chance this season of doing something great. Not only that, you and Jim Rome are about the best because you don't miss a lick. You say it the way it is. You tell it the way it is. And if they don't like it, the hell with them. That's the way I look at it. And if they have a Hall of Fame for you and you guys, you should, both of you should be in it because you do your job the best. When my nephew was playing ball for St. Louis, you guys all know him. But I'm not going to say his name. You guys hit the nail on the head with him because he's retired now and he's living in Reno. But that's beside the point.
All right, Joe, let me jump in. I don't know who your nephew is, but I appreciate the compliment. Thanks for calling into the Jim Rome Show. And I've always called it the way I see it because my opinions are mine. They're not from others. And I really appreciate that. But when you look at what we've seen so far with the Raiders, we're going to have Mike Mayock on a little bit later on in the show. The Raiders this year could be a victim of their schedule. I travel with the team. I'm with them, and it's the most outlandish schedule in NFL history. It's an absolute embarrassment that Roger Goodell and his scheduling staff put the Raiders in this situation as they're saying goodbye to Oakland. Number one, the Raiders are playing a preseason game, a home game, in Winnipeg. It's a financial move. It's good for the Raiders. But again, it's a lot of travel. The Raiders have to go to Seattle and Arizona. Three road games in the preseason. Then the Raiders get Khalil Mack. How sick would it have been to see Khalil Mack play in Oakland? In Oakland, coming back in the last ever Bears-Oakland game in Oakland. Where do they put that game? London. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to get a London trip out of it. But other than that, for Mack not playing there, that was a gutless move. The Raider Nation wanted a piece of Mack. Mack wanted to pay tribute to the Raider fans who treated him well, and they pulled that act. And then the Raiders are on the road for about a month, as John Gruden has talked about here, as they're moving to Vegas. One of the things about the Raiders, as I live in Vegas, I'm based out of Vegas with my radio shows, is that they're building now a stadium, a hub, for the silver and black for the next 50-plus years. So Raider fans will come from the Far East, Europe, Los Angeles. When the Raiders play a home game in Vegas next year, the scene on the 15 freeway is going to look like Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. There's going to be 30,000 Raider fans coming across the desert to get to Vegas to crash in hotel rooms and gamble and show up on Sunday. It's going to be unbelievable. I love Oakland. I love the Oakland Raider fans, but this is the next greatest thing ever. When you see what the Raiders are going to look like in Vegas with that brand and everything that they have going, it's going to be incredible, and there is a real fan base waiting for them. When we come back, Michael Thomas just got his money, so when will Amari Cooper get his? And who should Jerry take care of first, Amari, Zeke, or Dak? I'll tell you who I would pay first. When we continue, we'll get to that. We have a little bit more time. I'll get to Trey in Maryland. Trey, what's happening? Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Go ahead, Trey. Thank you.
To talk a little about the running back slate, what they're getting paid and stuff. In my opinion, if I'm a top five or top 10 running back in the NFL, I easily think I'm worth $10 million a year. You see what quarterbacks are getting paid and what the NBA players, the no-name guys, what they're getting paid. Running backs need to get paid. Yeah, hold out.
Yeah, running backs need to get paid. I think we all agree on that, Trey. But the point is, you can't give these running backs long-term deals. You just have to give them a lot of money over 2 or 3 years and then run them into the ground. I think that's what's going to happen here. You're going to see a bunch of running backs get paid a higher amount, but they're not going to get the contract security on the back end because they're just getting hurt at such an alarming rate. It's so much wear and tear that I don't think most owners want to lock them up long term.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate the call. 800-636-8686 is the number, at JT the Brick on Twitter. That's a really important point there. If you want to go out and make these moves for a running back, I'm all for it. I think you have to get a good running back, and he's got to be your bell cow and a guy who's going to pound the ball when your quarterback either gets hurt or your quarterback's not having a good game. And to think that you're going to find running backs forever in the sixth or seventh round, to me, is ludicrous. I mean, people believe that they're going to get a running back from time to time in the third or fourth round, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer, or in the sixth round like Terrell Davis. That's luck. See, the biggest lucky move we've seen in NFL history is the draft of Tom Brady. Tom Brady went in the sixth round. He should have probably went in the third or fourth round. The Patriots had no interest in him at all. None. Because if they did, they would have taken him in the fifth round. Or they would have traded up to get him, and they didn't. The same thing with some of these other running backs. If you really want a great running back, go up and get him, like a Todd Gurley. Go up and get Saquon Barkley. I think that that was one of the greatest recent moves of the New York Giants. The Giants had a choice between Sam Darnold and Barkley. I don't know of a Jet fan or a Giant fan or a real NFL fan out there that believes the Giants now made a mistake. Barkley has this ungodly ability to catch the ball and run the ball. What do we know about Sam Darnold? Other than a couple of Southern California radio hosts continue to talk about him and love him and go out and take him out for margaritas. We don't know if he's going to work. No one in New York thinks that Sam Darnold's a superstar on New York radio or New York media. It's basically been him coming out of SC being this type of player that can resurrect a franchise. We're going to have to see it. So I love the fact that they went after Barkley before Darnold because I think he's going to be really important. Josh in Detroit, let's get out to you. Josh, what's happening?
JT, I'm glad you're a clone, brother, but you haven't mentioned a quarterback or a team that is Hall of Fame worthy. Matthew Stafford has thrown over 4,000 yards for 10 years, and look at the team that Detroit Lions are building. When they hit the visiting stadiums throughout the NFL, everybody's going to be sleeping on the Detroit Lions. Oh, Cleveland might be America's team, but Detroit Lions are going to be the Super Bowl champions this year because they're going to steal games because people are sleeping on them. And if you don't know who I am,
I know who you
I'm
are.
I'm a sleeper too.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. And keep jumping into the smack off. One day you might win like me and drop the mic and walk out and we'll have a spot for you here. Detroit's going nowhere. They have some of the worst ownership in North American sports history. The Ford family, they have no history of winning. They're not going to win anytime soon. Patricia, I think, can get the team back on track again. But we mentioned Matthew Stafford earlier in the show, almost 39,000 yards and 237 touchdowns. I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Stafford became a Hall of Famer someday because he's likable. He plays hurt. He puts up monster numbers. But I think that Stafford, who's going through a tough time with the health of his wife and they came out of that good, but the problem with Stafford and the big issue is he won't leave Detroit. I said that to Donovan McNabb on my radio show years ago. Get out of Philadelphia. Get out and go somewhere else where they're going to appreciate you. Why not Matthew Stafford leave Detroit, get out of Detroit, and try to win somewhere else? When we come back, we'll talk about Jerry Jones having to pay the big three, Amari, Zeke, or Dak. I tell you who I'd write my first check to. 800-636-8686. Chris Myers, Mike Mayock, Rob Dibble, and Clarence Hill all coming up next in the jungle.
Good night now!